I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, now that we've heard from Candace, we also wanted to give Monique an opportunity to address this week's episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac. She talks about what went down at the winery, plus we get into what led up to that night and how she feels about T'Challa being the breakout star of the season. And we'll be back with an all-new episode this Saturday. Here's Monique. Well, T'Challa is the absolute breakout star of the season. Did you ever expect fans to react this way?
No, I really didn't. It's so funny to me, I guess because I've always been an animal lover, and anyone who follows me on social media, they know that. So I guess I just thought that it would just be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's just Monique with another pet, with another, you know, animal that she loves. But people are like just loving him, and I love it. And I love the subtitles and the captions they've been giving him.
Right. I mean, he's a little shady.
Yes, he is.
Now, you've always been an animal person, but I feel like even for animal people, there is almost like a stereotype or something against like bird people. Like, did you ever think you'd be a bird person?
I've always been a bird person. I don't understand why it took me so long to even own a bird. I don't know. It wasn't until my kids suggested it and my husband actually said yes, that I was like, oh, I'm going to get a parrot. I grew up and one of my great aunts, she had a macaw. So she had a parrot. So I've always been around birds. We had a little kid rescue bird group, me and my cousins. We lived in a city. So there were birds that would build nests inside of these like electrical boxes where they come check the panels. So there were always birds falling out the nest, and we would like rescue them, call wildlife services to pick them up. So this is just something that's just been a part of me. And I guess it's nice that the viewers get to see another side of me.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you taught T'Challa to say anything like curse words or something?
I have never taught him curse words because I rarely use profanity. I have to be really upset. But it's interesting because I swear he said the B word. And I think he's getting that from Chase. Because Chase has a tongue tie. So when he's having a hard time pronouncing words. So when he's trying to say beach, he's actually saying the B word.
Oh, okay.
And I put this on social media as well on my stories where Chase was trying to say fox and he kept saying the F word. So I think T'Challa is definitely mimicking Chase, and it's hilarious because they are like the best buds now.
I mean, maybe T'Challa is also just watching too much Housewives because, you know, there are curse words that fly around on occasion.
Yes. And we definitely have Bravo on TV quite a lot in this house. So.
Well, this season, Karen's been very open with you about everything that she's going through with Ray. So how did you show up for her as a friend with everything she was going through?
I just wanted to let her know that I was here to be a listening ear and to give whatever advice I could. I mean, my marriage of 8 years compared to her marriage of 20 plus, you feel like you really can't give any advice because she's been through it all. But what I've come to learn is that marriage does go through different stages. And me and Chris, with our newness in our marriage, definitely helps me to give her advice on some of the things that we do that she may have used to do in the past. So it's been a great relationship, and I've been very respectful of her privacy when it comes to whatever she's going through. And I just felt like she would share with the group whatever she wants to share with them when she's ready. So I made it a point to just keep whatever she, you know, says to me and reveals to me between us. And that's what friends do. That's what we're supposed to do, is be a support for each other.
Right. Yeah. And you talk about the newness in a marriage, which I think is interesting because it does apply to every relationship, right? No matter sort of the length and everything that, you know, you and Chris have gone through with, you know, having so many children, you know, how are you guys doing today in terms of navigating the newness of your relationship?
Yeah. Every day it's learning. It's just trying to get over that learning curve. Being outnumbered by your kids is something that I never thought would be a big deal. Going from one to two was so easy. Going from two to three is like, whoa, you know, because now you have children who want your attention. They're pulling at both of you. But then you have this third child who also needs the attention. So it's been very interesting for us to just kind of navigate how to make sure each of our children gets the time and attention that they need, and also making sure that we get the time and attention that we need for each other. So it's been a lot of just trial and error and just trying to make a schedule so that we know once they go to bed at 8 o'clock, that is game time for us.
That is so funny. I've never heard the term outnumbered by your children. And I just like picture like an army of children in your home, like taking it over.
Yes, it really feels like that at times. And then you add the bird into it. T'Challa really believes that he is the fourth child. You can't tell him otherwise. So when the kids go to bed at 8 o'clock, here he comes on my shoulder trying to get his attention. And it's just funny to watch him because when the kids are on the floor playing, they like to make tents out of blankets and pillows. And T'Challa will fly off his perch and he'll be right on the floor with them playing peekaboo under the sofa. He's following wherever they're going and he's just walking around. It is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. But he feels like he's a child. So we really are outnumbered. Right. Everybody needs attention.
Right. Well, I feel like you also feel like he's a bit of a child to you too. Let's be fair.
He's my baby. He is. He's my baby.
Also this season, we see you working on a series of live shows for your podcast. So, you know, looking back on it now, do you feel like maybe at the time you bit off more than you could chew?
Absolutely. So when I was planning out these live shows, I guess I never intended on also reopening my house on the water and having the ladies come there for my birthday weekend. That was something that happened way after I had already started planning the live shows and I was full gear into that. So to then take on another project of reopening the house, getting it ready for the ladies, you know, scheduling caterers and activities and all of those things, I should not have done that. I should have been just focused on my live shows and just realized that, yeah, I would love to have the ladies come out, but that might be a bit much for me. And I'm just a person who just thinks I can do it all. And sometimes you have to come to the realization that you have to also pace yourself and not overbook yourself. And that is something I definitely did last year, but it's not the podcast fault. I had started that first.
Right. I mean, we know that Candace ended up dropping out of the show last minute. Were you hurt by that? Were you angry? Like, what went through your mind when you found out that she was going to drop out of the show?
You know, it wasn't last minute. When you watch the show, sometimes you kind of forget the timestamps. And a blogger actually went through my Instagram and started posting timestamps based on when I posted the new flyer that did not feature Candace. And I started thinking back and I was fine with it. I still then invited her out to my house. I wasn't upset by it. It was just more so to me, the situation happened at dinner with Ashley and we never talked after that. I did tell her in the audio everyone heard, I said, we need to talk about this off camera. That conversation never happened.
Right.
The next thing I get is a text message from her dropping out of the podcast. And at that moment, I just thought like, you know, I get that you're upset, but you brought someone around that you knew what bringing her around would represent. And then I confronted you in front of everyone where normally in the past, I would have pulled her to the side and said something off camera. So I said, I'm not playing that game anymore. So she was upset. She decided to cancel after knowing I had already had her posted and on the flyers and on the website to feature her and her husband. And I just felt like that was just another selfish moment for her. So I just said, you know what? I'm moving forward. I'm moving on. And then I went to extend an invitation to all of the ladies to come to Newburgh, including her. So you can tell I had no resentment.
I see. Yeah, of course. And it's been a while for you guys too, right? I mean, since you were involved in all of this. So must be tough to kind of remember the exact order of how things went. Right. I do want to go back to the lake house for a minute. So, you know, looking back on everything that happened, do you have any regrets about the way you reacted to the conversation between Candace, Giselle, and Ashley?
When I look back at it, I didn't realize that a lot of what was fueling my frustration was not just the fact that they had this private conversation and their little one-off session and then, you know, the whole speaking on marriages and all of that. So there was a lot of other things that was fueled behind that frustration. And I didn't line up my frustrations with the current situation properly. So when I initially started the conversation about the women that next morning, it was actually Karen who started the conversation because she was really irritated that Giselle was having these sidebar moments. So then I started speaking on this another sidebar moment, which was the three of them gathering. And I didn't realize it was Candace that requested that meeting. I thought Giselle requested it.
I see.
So yeah, so my frustrations were going off on everybody. And then it ended up being focused on to Candace because the situation with Charisse, it's not a issue of, oh, she brought her around and I didn't know they were friends. Charisse had been involved in helping facilitate some very nasty stuff about me and my family. And the rumor that Giselle was talking about is not the actual rumor that was going around. So when Candace then brought Charisse around on camera, that to me was signaling that, whoa, you're being messy because you already know why she's here. You already know what she's capable of and what she wants to speak on. So when she did that, it really shocked me because I'm like, whoa, I thought we were supposed to be friends and we had just had a conversation about all of this. So for her to then go forward and act like she doesn't know why I'm so upset with Charisse, I was just like baffled. Like, you know why, but I see you're just acting. You're just doing these little games and I'm not falling for it. But with everything said, I should have lined up whatever I was frustrated about in that moment with what was happening, not allowing other frustrations to take over and cause me to be in a situation where I completely overreact about something so simple.
I see. Okay. So then you basically are saying that there were actually two separate rumors, like one that Giselle had referenced and one that Charisse was actually perpetuating.
So the one that Giselle referenced was not the rumor. She just created that. She summed that up and turned it into her own spin. The rumor that was actually the rumor that a ex-friend and she, along with Charisse and Candace even, because she reached out to the ex-friend reached out to Candace initially. Candace gave the ex-friend Charisse's number. The rumor that this ex-friend was starting about me, she said that I was having an affair with the trainer and that my pregnancy was not by Chris. And as nasty as that sounds, this is why I played it cool, because I did not want to have to talk about this on the show. I did not want to have to confront people because my desire is to protect my child. But now the whole cat is out the bag. Candace went live on her Instagram and she actually discussed that, which was the rumor, a bunch of lies that they cannot prove. And she even said in her live that she told Giselle and Robin, whoever else was at the table with them at dinner discussing this, she said, that's not going to fly because Chase looks just like Chris. And that's why now you see Giselle had her own take and just left it as, oh, Monique's been seen around town with a trainer. I've not been seen around town with a trainer. So she took the same situation, but she just put a spin on it that she wanted to spin. And I'll further say, when Giselle was on Watch What Happens Live, she made a comment, and I remember getting tweets from people saying, what does she mean by that? She said, when Andy asked her, what do you think about Monique saying that you and Jamal are not really back together? And she said, well, we are. He's my actual ex-husband, and he's the actual father of my kids. When I saw her say that on the show, I knew what she was talking about. The rest of the world didn't know. So she was taking a shot, because that is actually what she wanted to bring to light on the show. Another lie. But she realized if she went that deep off into it, wow, who would look terrible? She would. Because why would you be talking about someone's child? Children are off limits. And I can go on and on about the situation, but trust me, we will deal with this at reunion.
Right. Well, yeah, it seems like there's a lot that needs to be cleared up. The other thing that is a bit of a rumor, I guess, is some fans have said that you were pretending to be asleep at the lake house so you didn't have to say bye to Candace. What would you say to those fans?
I think it's funny that people like really made a big deal about that, but I actually was asleep. I fell asleep. And to me, when I'm being professional and when I'm showing my real life, I'm 100% real. I'm 100% professional. So I was actually embarrassed when I woke up because I'm like, the cameras are still there. They're rolling. I'm technically working. And I fell asleep on the couch. But that's how exhausted I was. And my husband knows if I'm asleep, do not wake me, because that will be a full-blown argument.
Right. I can just imagine the crew like standing there, like you're still mic'd and you're sleeping on the couch and they're like, well, we gotta go.
Right. Yeah, that was funny. And there were others who left after Candace who I didn't get to say bye to. So let me just put that out there.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is too, when you are the host, you have been hosting a whole crew of people, literally, you know, on top of all of the ladies. And it's just sort of like, you know what? If I'm going to fall asleep on my couch, I'm going to fall asleep on my couch.
Yeah, look, I didn't intend to, but you saw that big yawn I took when Chris was trying to talk to me.
That's true.
I mean, it was real. Like, I was really exhausted and I was so tired. And you know how these women are a handful. To host them with all the complaining and the remarks and the, I don't want to do it, I want to be pampered. I'm like, come on. This is how I live in real life. I'm hands on. I get it done. So welcome to my life while you're visiting my home.
Right. Well, let's get to the winery. At the winery, were you surprised by Ashley's revelation about the openness in her relationship?
I can't say that I was surprised by the revelation. I was more so surprised that she finally just came to the point of telling the whole group, you know, all of her business. So it was more so shocking to me. And when she got to the part of detailing some of the what her and Michael like to do when they're on vacation and, you know, with the whole threesomes. And I thought because she was doing so much revealing, I was like, wait, two dudes? So I'm thinking she's about to reveal like something about Michael that people have been saying, but then she's like, no, it was another girl. I was like, oh, okay. I just, you know, kudos to her for feeling open enough to express whatever's going on in her marriage to the whole group and finally just put everything to rest. It's like people have different things that they like to entertain or not entertain in their marriage, and that's their business, you know? So who are we to judge?
Yeah, no, it's true. And I mean, as her friend, like, what advice have you given Ashley through the ups and downs with Michael over the last couple of years?
I've just encouraged her to do what she feels is best for her and her relationship and her and now her child. And at the end of the day, we can't tell her what to do. And our opinions really don't matter. And I just told her to just kind of like block out what other people are saying, because you know the whole story. The viewers get to see little snippets of our lives over the years. It takes years to really get to know a housewife, because every year you're getting so small of a piece of time from each lady. And this year we have seven housewives.
Right.
So it's hard to get the full picture across. So I just told her, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And she does a good job of blocking out the noise. So I give her props for that.
Yeah. What was your reaction when you found out that she was pregnant again?
Oh, I was excited because I already knew they were actively trying for number two. So I was very excited for her, given the fact that she had went through a miscarriage as well. And then the struggle to get pregnant again after having a miscarriage. I don't think people really understand that it is a struggle. I remember after I had my miscarriage in 2017, it took us a long time to get pregnant and to conceive Chase. And then in the beginning, we almost lost him very early on. So the not just the struggle, but also the fear. Now that you're pregnant after having a miscarriage and experiencing that, the thought of losing another pregnancy weighs on you. It adds more stress. So the fact that she was able to conceive and have Dean, and now she's conceived again, I'm just so happy. I'm elated for her and Michael. So, you know, I just, you know, it's a tough situation. So I'm really happy for them.
Yeah. How have you seen motherhood change, Ashley?
Oh, man. She gets it now. She gets the struggle. And when it comes to the show, I was the only one on the show that had young kids. And then I was the only one that actually went through pregnancy while filming on the show. And then Ashley, now she can experience it. And it's funny because every time we talk, one of the things that she says to me is, I don't know how you did it. And I don't know how you do it, because she's now seeing some of the, you know, stressors of trying to make sure you're fully in tune with the ladies and then going on these trips and then having to be away from your child that's very new. It's not an easy situation. So, and then you have to juggle so much and try to maintain that balance. So it's, you know, it's interesting, but I'm glad that she's able to see the other side. And she's handling it, you know, she's doing what she can.
Yeah, well, and at least she does have you to lean on in terms of support and advice on how to do it. Because like you said, you are the only one other than Ashley now that really has young kids. I mean, Wendy does too, but I think she'll definitely be able to lean on you more going forward on how to navigate it.
Right, yes. And then including Wendy, I already know that she is experiencing and has experienced throughout filming some of the same struggles that I had witnessed and gone through. Then Ashley, now her coming new to the show. So that's even more pressure. I remember what it was like, you know, season two, when I came along, when I started filming, I believe Milani was around 8 months old, somewhere around that time. So, you know, you have one and then you have another coming along that's still a baby. You're healing up from having a baby. And oh man, the list goes on and on. So yeah, kudos and so many props to the women who can actually do this particular reality TV, you know, situation. And then they're also raising young kids, having careers, whether that be a job or just being an entrepreneur and having your own business. It definitely takes a lot of strength.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, when do you guys find time to sleep? I don't get it.
I don't sleep. I sleep like I did when I fell asleep on that couch. Whenever I have an opportunity to close my eyes, that's when it happens. But sleep is rare. It's like nonstop.
Well, at the winery, we also see the beginning of the altercation. So what is it that you want fans to know about what they're going to see next?
I guess the main takeaway for me is that no one can ever tell you how to feel when you are in a position where you feel you're being threatened or bullied in some type of way. And my guard was up very high at the point when she waved her hand near my face, and to the point where her hand almost touched my chin. And I realized that, you know, the episode we saw, different camera angles, you can see different things. The entire time, I'm a person who talks and uses my hands as well. But when a person comes close to me, I'll redirect my hand. And there's a scene where you can clearly see my hands are like when she's spinning around and I'm like, yeah, girl, go ahead, spin, spin, spin. I'm moving my hand. As soon as she approaches the table, I took my hand and went the other direction. Hands in the face is a trigger for me that later on you'll see as you continue to watch the episodes. But that was the point where I felt very on guard. And then I gave a warning. I said, get your hand out my face. Now, any normal person, if someone says that you're too close to me, they'll respect that and they'll back up or they'll change direction or they'll stop doing what you just asked them to stop doing. Not respond with, what you gonna do? You gonna drag me? So to me, what I felt in that moment was that you are antagonizing, you're egging me on, you're directly challenging me, and I'm not gonna get hurt because I've seen you in action. I've saw you with butter knives. I've saw how you almost fought your own husband so that you could get after another person. I've witnessed these things and these behaviors firsthand. All I know is there's a lot of glass on this table. There's a lot of charcuterie knives on this table. There are things that can be used as weapons. And I'm not a person to use a weapon unless I absolutely need to. So the fans will see. They'll be able to judge based off of what they've experienced and based off of what they think their initial reaction will be. But you never know unless you're put in that situation. And I just wish that none of it ever happened. I wish that when I felt triggered, I was aware enough of myself to just walk away. And we live and we learn, you know? So that is definitely something that, you know, I just wish it just never got out of hand. When I started touching her hair, I plopped her hair and said, you want me to, you want me to. That I wish had not happened because it definitely encouraged it to move forward even more. So me giving her a warning, her not backing down from the warning, pushed it into another direction. Me then touching her hair, pushed it into another direction. Her then reaching over to touch me, which felt as a push, which later on I realized she touched me, but she didn't push me. Someone else pushed me, but I thought it was her. I'm only focused on her at this right. moment. That turned into me then grabbing her. And then you'll see what happens next.
Yeah.
So one action led to the next. I was in no way, shape or form anticipating that in that moment, this is going to turn physical.
Right.
So yeah, I just want the fans to know that this wasn't something that was premeditated. This was something that was based off of energy being returned, and it just turned into something just very ugly.
Yeah. Well, take us to the days following the incident. What was going through your mind after the fact?
After the fact, what's interesting is adrenaline's pumping. I'm in the state of shock. At this point, in that state of shock, I recalled more about the details of the fight than I did days leading afterward. Then you couple that with once I start talking to some of the ladies about what they witnessed, they're telling me that what they witnessed didn't line up with what I recalled. So that turned into me questioning myself, like, wait, I know I remember this. I know this happened. And they're like, no, that didn't happen. So that took on an energy of itself. It was just a very rough time. Everything happened so fast. Some people were wrong in the very instant. As soon as it happened, they started saying things that weren't true. So, you know, now that we actually have the ability to watch it, I mean, how many times do we get into certain circumstances and we don't have the ability to press rewind, you know? So thank God that I was able to see exactly what went down, because it actually gave me some peace of mind, because I knew then in that moment that what I had been saying is what happened, but some people just missed it. You know, so the truth always will come out. You know, you just got to be patient enough to wait.
Yeah. How did Chris feel about everything that happened? What were conversations like with your husband, you know, that night or in the days following as well?
It was very, like, my husband was in shock. And he was just, like, very disappointed that I was out here physically fighting somebody, 36 years old with 3 kids and a whole husband. I have way too much to lose. So he's just like, how did this happen? Like, what in the world? The days leading after, as I'm recalling different things and I'm telling the story, he was like totally understanding. He said, okay, I get it. Because he's a football player and he's definitely been involved in an altercation or 2 or 3 or 10 over his course of being in the career, he understood where I was and how things went down more than the average person. So he was able to tell me about moments where he just, you know, lost control and how he felt about that moment and then how he felt after. So he was really huge in just helping me get to the next point where I could just kind of calm myself down. My adrenaline was just on level 1000 for like over a week.
Yeah.
It was like I couldn't get myself to just calm down. My mind was racing. I was just like, wow, I'm in a state of shock. I've never felt anything like that. Not since I was a child. And we even talk about some of this on the show of instances of when I was bullied. So it's almost like that inner child just jumped out and said, I can finally defend myself, you know? So it was just a really interesting journey. And
yeah,
I'm glad that I was able to take the journey simply because it really taught me a lot about myself and some things that I went through at a very young age that I never really thought about and realized this is what has helped shape me to be who I am and why I react in certain ways.
Yeah. Have you talked to your kids about what happened or anything that, you know, might be coming up on the show?
Absolutely. I had no choice but to talk to them about it because they're a little older and they're very nosy and they are ear hustlers. So as I was talking to my family about the situations, thinking that they're off in the room playing around, they were definitely listening. It definitely took a toll on my son, who he was very nervous for me to film and go back to work after the incident in real life.
Yeah.
You know, he was just like, if I said, hey, I'm about to leave, I'm about to go film, he would become very guarded. He would become very worried. He would hug me and just like, mommy, I don't want you to go. So I realized that he was just concerned for my safety. I had to explain to him that mommy's okay. Everything is, you know, is under control. You don't have to worry about anything. And he even took on some of the stress that he felt me taking on after that whole incident. And I had to figure out ways to just make sure that my kids were fine. So while some people criticize the fact that it took me a long time to really feel the weight, they don't realize that I still had to go back into mommy mode, business mode, wife mode right after. I did not get a break.
Yeah.
That night when I got home after the incident happened, you know, my kids woke up when they heard me come in the house. So I had to put them back to bed. The next morning, I had to do Milani's hair. It was business as usual back in the Samuels house. And I didn't really have a moment to really take it all in and to just think about like, wow, what happened?
Wow. Yeah. No, I mean, it's natural in some ways for kids, especially sons, I think, to be protective of their moms. I can imagine myself in his shoes in a lot of ways, you know, and then taking on that stress for you, you know, I mean, they you want to protect your mom in so many ways.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And my daughter, her take on it is just like, she's just a little comedian and she makes fun of everything. I think she's kind of like me. I will turn a negative into a positive and just joke about it to get over it. But one day I was telling my youngest son to stop doing something. And I, you know, I'm like, you know, Chase, you can't do that. Stop doing that. And she's sitting there coloring and she just chimes in and says, what you gonna do? You gonna drag me? and starts laughing. No. I was like, Milani, I'm like, where did you get that from? And she's like, well, it was from the show. I'm like, they listen to everything. She is a hot little mess.
Oh, my God. I wish we had that on camera. I really wish we had that.
It was crazy. And then I did like a little video of her afterward. And I was just like, tell me what you just said. And I sent it to my family. I was like, y'all see how these kids be eavesdropping, right?
Right.
And they were just cracking up. Like, she's a mess.
Well, she is adorable. So
thank you.
Well, I mean, I think the burning question that everybody's going to want to know is, have you spoken to Candace since that night?
No. No, wow. I have not. And honestly, the day I finally started like really feeling like, you know, like, okay, we need to have a conversation, and maybe that conversation should happen as couples. And it was 10 days. And that was the day where I felt all of the weight of everything. And I realized that she received a lashing, my response physically. Not for what happened in that moment, but once it got going, she received everything, every bit of frustration for probably my entire life in that moment unleashed onto her. And that is what really bothered and affected me, because I said my response at the very end was not due to her action. That was due to me unleashing everything that has been pent up for the past 36 years of my life. That's when I really started feeling the weight of everything. And I said, okay, we need to talk. Coincidentally, and I have a text message that actually proves this timeline, I reached out to one of the producers and I suggested that we talk with our husbands. And he said, you know, that's huge or whatever to even think that way. Obviously, you know, that would be something that Candace would have to be comfortable with at some point or another. And I said, okay. 5 seconds later, I get an email from her attorney basically telling me that I need to call him. So he wanted to have a conversation. I had to lawyer up. My lawyer then spoke to her attorney and said, this was not an attack. This didn't just happen out of nowhere. He said, so why are we paying you? And he wanted money for his client. And my attorney said, we're not giving you a dime. So do what you need to do. And then that's when we, probably a few days after that is when they filed the official complaint. That put a bad taste in my mouth simply because you weren't seeking to file a complaint. You were seeking to get paid and then file a complaint. So to me, I was just like, whoa, this is taking a whole new turn and a whole new spin onto this whole incident. And because everything turned legal, that took away the ability for me to speak to her directly. Now we have to talk through our attorneys. So we haven't talked since. And that's just how it's been. And she's done so much in the media, with her Instagram, with her Twitter, and all of those different things after the fact, that I'm just like, wow, okay, you're showing me your true colors. We were never friends. So that's where it is.
Yeah. Well, needless to say, this is going to be one hell of a reunion.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I cannot wait.
Well, Monique, thank you so much for joining us today. This was really great to get to talk to you and discuss everything that's gone down. And I just want to point out to the listeners, we did get a cameo from T'Challa. I heard him chirping a few times.
Yes, right in the background.
Well, thank you so much, Monique. And hopefully we'll talk to you again later
thank
on this season.
Thank you so much. Season. I appreciate your time. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy.